And I'll just declare the meeting opened for the council meeting on the 28th of September at 19 minutes.
It's on mute.
Past.
Not to mute.
So 19 minutes past six. Just ask that we bow our heads in council prayer. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I'd also like to acknowledge the Wangal people, the Eora Nation, who are the traditional custodians of this land, and I pay my respect to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present. I just advise members of the gallery and councillors that the meeting is recorded, and it's recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the minutes and promoting public transparency. The recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009. Apologies, leave of absence. I think we need an apology for Councillor Del Duca, who I believe is not, and leave of absence to be granted. It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Dixit. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Declarations of interest by councillors.
I do have a declaration to declare. I'm a part owner of 183 Ebert Road, so I could have a peculiar interest in regarding item 64/21.
And the reason is because you're an owner that's adjoining the
183, which is adjoining some of the precincts, which will be discussed in the meeting.
Did you get that, Michelle? Councillor Fernow-Cook?
Yes, I've got item 64/21, which is the planning proposal, and I have a pecuniary interest for being a property owner. That's my primary residence, and so I'll recuse myself from that meeting and won't take part. And also I have a non-pecuniary less than significant interest in 71, which is the annual local government conference, as I am on the board.
Yep. Okay. Any others? I'm just going to declare a less than significant conflict, non-pecuniary conflict of interest on item 64/21, because I believe that my wife's relatives own a property, I think a house on Woodside Avenue, and I think it's number 31. Did you get all those, Michelle? Michelle can't hear me. Okay.
Yes, I did. Sorry. Okay. I'm on mute.
So they're the declaration. Any declarations of political donations? Also, those in the gallery, if a person who makes a development application to council considering it as a planning matter, the statutory requirement for disclosure is highlighted on the forms and submissions. You need to make a declaration, just to remind you, please. Recording of councillors voting on planning decisions. So there'll be a recording of the planning decisions for the LEP, I believe, and the VPA. I might check that one. Confirmation of minutes from the previous meeting. It's been moved by Councillor Fernow-Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. That the minutes be accepted and adopted. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried. We've got three speakers for open forum that have registered, so we might get to that because they're for agenda items, which is number 10. So I don't believe we received... The written submissions have been included in the report, so we haven't received any at the moment. There's no speakers for open forum. Now, the address by the public on agenda items, can I go to, which is all in relation to 64/21, which is the first item of business. So I'll go to a Mr. Marcus Holden from Enfield. Mark.
I'll leave the meeting at this stage. If you're not doing your mayoral minute now, you're going to do straight.
What I might do is the mayoral minute then, and then I'll get you back, because we can put the mayoral minute at any time rather than say you're going out, going in. Are you happy with that, councillor?
Yeah. Do you want me out or do you want me?
No, stay there. I'll do my mayoral minute quickly because I can put that up at any time. My mayoral minute's not on the paper. I'll get that. No, so we might get Marcus to speak first and I'll grab that. Fab, do you want to just give that minute, please?
Sorry, am I on?
Marcus?
We might
Michelle, put Councillor Fernow Cook in the waiting bay, please.
Should I be in the waiting room as well?
And sorry, and Councillor Chan.
Okay. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Hang on, Marcus, we'll just be a sec.
Okay.
So Michelle is Councillor Chan and Councillor Fernow Cook.
Yes, they're in the waiting room.
Okay. Can someone send me the mayoral minute at the same time too, please? So Marcus, I might just quickly read the...
Yeah.
So there's a time limit of 3 minutes per speaker.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, I know.
All right. Go for it.
Can you hear me? Okay. All right, look. I'll just do it in point form. This is about the north side of Mitchell Street, and I just wanted to say these points. One, originally I got a petition together which was a unanimous petition of all the ratepayers in the north, in Mitchell Street West, to have an R2 listing on the heritage site of the north side of Mitchell Street. It's at the moment an R3, and we've agreed amongst ourselves that the existing townhouses can't be changed. So I put that to the meeting. The council agreed unanimously to that. Okay. This is a fabulous heritage site and streetscape. The bricks were made from the brick pit down the end of in what is now Henley Park. And these types of houses are disappearing. So the heritage listing is already there, but the R2 ensures that there'll be no more, demolition and multi-story dwellings. Sorry, thanks. Also, the traffic. Now, I've noticed in the agenda of this meeting that you're already talking about putting traffic calming things in Portland Street, just around the corner. We haven't even started trying to get the traffic sorted in Mitchell Street. Since the traffic lights in Hill Street have come on board, and with the 20% increase in turnover of flower power during the COVID lockdown, we are getting lots and lots and lots of traffic. Now, already the Vision Australia proposal for multi-storey development has been questioned because there is only one entrance to Mitchell Street, and that would cause too many problems with traffic. The next thing I would like to say is that we haven't really had sufficient notification of any objections to our proposal. The reason why is because no one has been allowed to go out or go into the council buildings to find it out. We didn't know there was any objections. I only found out about this today. Okay, so I think there's been insufficient notification. There should have been a notification that someone had objected. We should have got that in writing. We should have got that in writing weeks ago, not yesterday. Also, the proponents of these objections are not the residents of Mitchell Street. They're the families of the residents of Mitchell Street. They are not residents. They are not ratepayers. And having done a quick run around of the residents of Mitchell Street, everybody is against it. And I have actually spoken to one of the residents and they only found out about it yesterday themselves. These proposals are from the families of the residents. They are not from the residents themselves. I don't see why people outside the local government area should have any say in in a proposal that one is against what the council agreed was unanimously an R2 rating onto the north side of Mitchell Street, and two, they're proposing to knock two heritage listed houses down. I could show you a photo. Two of the loveliest houses in the street to access some land for another townhouse development, which I suspect might be part of a bigger proposal for 104 and 106. Thanks.
Thank you, Marcus.
One more thing. I'd like to remind councillors that as a voting block, Mitchell Street is full of a large number of residents, and elections are coming up. So,
Marcus, thanks for that, but we can't get into voting blocks. Councillors are going to make decisions on planning, not on voting. It creates a conflict. Next one is Salvatore Scrimi, who's speaking. Are you speaking on behalf of 96, is it, or 94?
Yeah, I'm speaking on behalf of 94. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm actually the owner of number 94's son. I grew up in that home and I grew up in that street. I'm the youngest child and I'm representing my mum and my siblings. This is my mother has limited English, and I take objection with some of the things that have actually been said, but I believe this is not the forum for that. There are people in that street with limited English, and my mother is certainly not computer literate. She's 83, and she didn't even know what was going on at the time until I happened upon a letter at her house. There was even some conjecture as to whether the initial letter, I'm sure it was sent, but whether she received it. Okay. Well, as stated, our preference was to retain R3 zoning on mum and our neighbours' homes, as we believe that the existing regulations consistent with the HCA would protect the streetscape. There is no collusion with the people that own the townhouses. I haven't even spoken to them. Mum hasn't either. This is not a grand plan of anything. No one is even discussing knocking anything down. That home, my mother will live in that home if her health permits to the day she dies. That's her home. And that the garden in there kept my father alive. This is a family home. Anyway, moving on. As stated, our preference was that. However, we acknowledge and respect council's concession to allow additional permitted uses of the BLEP for mum's property, as it's 1,700 square metres and would be underutilised, in my opinion, as a single block. Hopefully its use, and being a young family that's been in the area and now we're in an adjoining council area, I do say that, but I'm speaking on my mother's behalf, who would not be able to communicate here. If you want my credentials, I'm also qualified to do so. I'm a qualified interpreter. That's not here nor there. But it might, you know, we're thinking hopefully it could be used to give a young, you know, benefit the family or give a young family access to this great area. It is a great area. I was brought up there. I'm the one that actually restored the gables and the facade of that house to period. They were blue and white prior. So I don't have a problem with any of that. Our intention is for our mum to live out the remainder of her life at the house at number 94. I guess I'm here today to support my hardworking deceased father's long-held intention that we retain the property for our own use or the use of our children as a nest egg. His grand intention was that we would actually build there with him, or that his grandkids could do it, or at least that his grandkids wouldn't have to be put into a situation where home ownership was beyond their means. That was his intention all through his life. He was a migrant that came here and we scrimped and saved to live there. They've lived there since the mid-70s. This is not something, we're not there to start developing, as the former speaker said. There's none of that happening. Mum will be there until her dying day. It was there to benefit his children, grandchildren, consistent with the regulations in place during his lifetime. I just would feel bad if I didn't stick up for Dad. He always said it. Now, this matter has placed a lot of undue stress on my mother. As so far as getting notice, we were taken aback Mum doesn't remember signing, but she may have. I don't believe that she wouldn't have, but I don't believe she had the knowledge of what she was actually signing because of her language. And this all happened during COVID lockdowns as well, in and out of that. So, you know, there's a little bit confusing to me there. It's placed undue stress on my mother, who lost our father in February 2020, approximately 2 to 3 months before the petition was put to council and signed in the early stages of COVID lockdown. That was last year. My mother is an elderly woman and has poor English and is not computer literate, obviously, as I've stated. In fact, was not aware that these matters were progressing. The first she knew was when I picked it up on the dining table.
Salvatore, I've got to get a wrap up now.
Yeah, no worries. It was very difficult to see my mum, I'll be perfectly honest with you, very difficult to see my mum sobbing in front of a photo of Dad saying, "I've let you down. I'm sorry. Tell me what to do. I know you wanted this place to help the kids. Tell me what to do."
Okay.
That house is not a normal size block and would be underutilized. It's 1,700 square meters. I'm all for keeping the facade of Mitchell Street in keeping with the area.
Okay. Thanks, Salvatore. Thank you.
The rest of the block, however, is not even visible from the street. Thank you.
Next speaker is Mr. David Furlong.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and councillors.
And David, you're the planner speaking on behalf of 94 and 96, is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor, yes. Mr. Mayor, we made a submission on the 19th of July and it was acknowledged by council in the normal course of planning proposals and development matters. There was nothing hidden there. It was registered on having been received by council. Mrs. Chechen, who is the owner of number 96, signed a letter that went with that submission, indicating that she was both in favour of the submission and of retaining her R3 zoning. The council's own report on page 12, the staff say, "The concentration of the additional permitted use at the rear of 94 Mitchell Street preserves the existing streetscape character. We have no intention of demolishing, nor have we requested demolition approval of the two houses." What we have requested, Mr. Mayor, in fact, it was our request, A, to retain the zoning at R3 because of the size of, particularly the size of number 94, but to include 96 just simply to square off the zoning. However, it's a reasonable compromise that the council staff has suggested in terms of the additional permitted uses at the rear of number 94. And as Mr. Screnzi has just said, the family is happy to accept that. My concern from a planning perspective is that number 94 wraps around in a wedge format to the rear of 96. And if you square up those two blocks in terms of ultimate opportunity for additional development, number 96 will get no more yield, it gets no more floor space. The two houses at the front would be retained, but the two driveways and things, the driveways would allow for one driveway in, one driveway out. The traffic circumstance would be a lot better. And the layout of any future development at the rear would be a lot better managed. The family realises that the front, as I said, the front dwellings need to be retained. And by including the two lots together, it would avoid an isolation, piggy in the middle type circumstance that would happen later on, because number 96 is hard up against the existing townhouses. And it will be adjoining, obviously, number 94 should and when, if ever, the multi-dwelling housing be built in its rear yard. The current heritage provisions, FSR provisions, height provisions will all be retained under the LEP. There is no opportunity to build multi-storey redevelopments, residential flat buildings, none of the like. The blocks just, well, particularly 96, just isn't big enough. It just makes sense to combine the two together should some form of redevelopment occur 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the track. I hope Mrs. Screnzy lasts for a long time, as I'm sure her family do as well. So the easiest way to resolve that is either to square up the zoning down the eastern boundary of number 94 or to allow the additional permitted use to also occur on number 96, but only in conjunction with the future redevelopment of number 94. Because there's no value in trying to redevelop that site. It's not big enough on its own. And I have spoken to, not to Mrs. Chechen, but certainly over the weekend to her son and daughter-in-law, who have spoken obviously to their mother and mother-in-law. So this is a case of two families, adjoining blocks of land, have been there for a long, long time, Mr. Mayor. And they just want to look after what their families had always believed that they would be able to achieve for their children and their grandchildren. And as Mr. Screnzy has said, they're both happy to keep the current streetscape houses that are there at the moment. It's really as simple as that. So, Mr. Mayor, unless there are any questions, that's all I wish to say.
Thank you, Mr. Furlong. Is there any question? Oh, I don't think we can go into questions. We'll leave questions for planning staff. All right. There being no further speakers, rather than do the Merrill Minute, I might go straight into the item since we've got the two councillors excluded. Is there any objections from that, councillors? So we might just go into item then, first item, which is 64/21. Do I have any questions from staff? I might just put a question forward to Dylan, if you could show yourself, Dylan, or to Carla, if you just want to explain the recommendation you've made in relation to 94, which is to still maintain the property, so it would still be part of the heritage conservation area, but you would allow some form of multi-housing, townhouses or terraces at the rear within the existing R2 zone. So it'd still be zoned R2, but you'd allow, how would that work and the consequences for number 96 being stuck in the middle between the two? Dylan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think, you know, the opportunity to do any development on this site is very much limited to the rear of number 94. And I think the points raised highlight that if this site is to be successfully developed, and there are a number of constraints to resolve there, not least heritage and also access as well, there's, I think, a broader opportunity and a little bit more flexibility to find a solution if number 96 is included as well. So what we're proposing is that we continue with the amendment to rezone those properties on Mitchell Street to the R2 low density residential, but we make specific mention of number 94 and number 96 within Schedule 1 of the LEP. And that's a schedule that allows us to list specific additional permitted uses on specified lots. So we would be specifying 94 and 96 as allowing development for the purposes of multi-unit dwellings on those lots.
So what protections, my next question to that is, what protection, I mean, councils voting to protect an area which is a conservation area, and I understand it's quite a large block, 94 is. I would feel, I mean, if I owned 96, I would feel a level of discrimination being stuck in between the two. But if, what's the protection, considering the intention is to make sure we preserve the conservation area and the home? So what assurances can we have that they won't come back and say, okay, we want to demolish the two homes and put multi-level housing?
Well, look, we're not proposing any amendments to the heritage conservation area, so that would certainly remain.
The still stay?
Very much so, Mayor. Our heritage advisor has considered these specific properties is form the view that they are contributory items, so that, so they're not properties that we would support for demolition as they presently stand. So in terms of assessment or lodgement of any future application, they would be considered in the context of the current heritage controls in the development control plan.
Okay. Is there any other questions? So they can't, so just on that, they can't demolish the two homes even if council allowed in the schedule.
Sorry, Marcus,
you're not allowed to join the debate. I'm sorry, it's a council meeting. Sorry, you're not allowed to join the debate.
There's another way of doing it.
I'm sorry, you're not allowed to join the debate.
I know. I'd like to talk.
You're not allowed to join the debate. I might have to take you off. It's just protocol. It's not me. Otherwise, we can't run meetings. So, Dylan, can I just say, in saying that, is how would they then get access? They would have to get access probably through the rear of.
That's what I'm talking about. Access.
I'm going to ask Michelle, could you please mute Mr. Holden, please?
I'm sorry. It's just, Marcus, I understand. I mean, I wish you had spoken to me beforehand, but we're not allowed to allow people to interrupt the meeting. That's all.
That's okay, Mr. Mayor. I just want to have a talk to Dylan after the meeting.
That's fine. I'm sorry. So one of the things I was just getting back to, so can we have guarantees or assurances that the houses won't be demolished, because that goes against the intent of what we're trying to achieve, that's all.
Oh, look, that's already written into our DCP controls for heritage conservation areas, so we certainly don't support the demolition of contributory items in the heritage conservation area.
Okay. Is there any other questions?
To you, Mr. Mayor, my question is, this is Raj. Yeah. My question is, when we are referring to this Schedule 1, so that Schedule 1 remain in the same zoning. Is it the zoning R3 would be retained for those which you are talking about, or it would be in R2, but in Schedule 1, the special mention was made about this, or?
Dylan?
If I can clarify through you, Mr. Mayor, what we're proposing is that the rezoning occur across all the properties that we've identified on Mitchell Road. So they would occur down to the, be downzoned to the low density residential area, with the exception of these two, number 94 and number 96. If we wanted to consider them in an alternative way and list them in Schedule 1 as additional permitted uses.
But that additional permitted uses, would you specify it only be to the rear of the properties, like in the houses, like you'd make note that the houses would have to be retained?
I don't think it would be necessary to do that, because we already have those controls in the heritage, in relation to heritages in the DCP.
But is it not an added protection? I'm just saying you might want to consider that.
We could look at that as part of investigating how we use a Schedule 1. It's not an area that we use particularly frequently. So we just need to probably get some advice from Parliamentary Council about how we make that wording to have that.
And can I just ask, so with, for example, say we're 5 years down the track, or it could be 12 months, or it could be 20 years, and they come in, they put a housing proposal for the rear, what type of form would that allow? Is it like, would the floor space be the same as what's allowed for building a home? Would it be more? Would it be increased heights? What would those controls be? So we sort of get an understanding.
So all the current building height and floor space ratio controls are very consistent with the low density residential area. So it's, in terms of building height, it's 8.5 metres. And also the floor space controls are limited to 0.55 of the total site area. So very similar to, I guess, a form and scale of development on the those other single detached dwellings. And indeed, the additional provisions in the heritage conservation area allow us to take into account scale, character, built form in the surrounding properties. And that would be factored in into any design as well.
So technically, am I correct then, from what you've told me, it wouldn't be any more than what, say, would be allowed for a dwelling then, but it might be two or three dwellings rather than just the one, but it would be the same bulk and size?
Comparable.
Okay. All right, any other questions? And sorry, just one other thing, because it was I got onto it before being interrupted. So if, would there be a encouragement to have access from the rear? And how could that look?
Look, I think that is certainly an issue with this particular property. The bulk of the land is located to the rear of the properties on Mitchell Street, and achieving an appropriate access needs further and detailed conversation. Consideration. One option could be linking in with the adjoining existing townhouse development or other properties to the rear, but we've not seen a solution there.
And can I just ask quickly, and I don't mean to be asking too many questions, but either you or Carla can answer this. So I mean, there were submissions put in for 94 and 96. So what's the argument for number 90 or 92 in the future to come and say, well, we want to do the same thing? What happened there? How does council protect itself and protect the conservation area from that perspective and provide equity or not create a precedent?
Look, I think there is a certain uniqueness to this situation. Having, you know, 1,000 square metre parcel of land to the rear of a property of this nature, I think is a sufficiently unique circumstance not to create a precedent. And what we're looking at here is having these two blocks potentially linked together to allow them any future development to be explored.
What about the precedence or the argument for number 96? Is it because it's wedged in between the two? Like, can 92 use the same argument, or is this unique in that form?
Oh, look, I think given 94 and 96 are together as a pair, I don't think 92 would have the same opportunity to be included in the same parcel land. They are quite separated from these two properties.
Okay, good. I'm just right. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just raising that to ensure what, you know, the arguments that could be used from a council's perspective to defend our position.
I might, if it's okay, Mr. Mayor, just invite Manager Strategic Planning, Carla Castanellas, to make some comments. I think she might have some alternative or additional perspective on this one. Carla?
Thank you, Director Porter, and through you, Mayor, I just wish to address your question regarding the access. It will be our duty to inform the Parliamentary Council that we wish to have access from a particular point. So we will add to Schedule 1 the permissible uses and word into that wording that the access should be provided from Mitchell Street, if that is what the heritage advisor recommends.
Okay. And all right, is there any other questions from councillors? So we're going to deal with the first part of the recommendation. Is there any questions regarding Sim Avenue and Livingston Street?
No.
Okay, so we might deal with that first recommendation, then I think we can get Councillor Chan in. I think Councillor Fernow-Cook has removed herself from the whole item, I believe. So Councillor, do I have a mover for the first part, which is in regards to Sim Avenue, Billwood and Livingston Street, Billwood? It's been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Dixon. I can't see you. You need to put your video on. Sorry. So it's been moved by Councillor Nana. Was that you, Councillor Dixon? Did you raise your hand or was it?
No, that's fine. I just made me a
scene by you. Crichton, are you happy to second that? Okay. Any speakers for?
Yes, I am.
Speakers for? Speakers against? I'll put the motion for the first part of the recommendation, which is part one. which is A, B, and C. It's been put. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against, I declare that carried unanimous. So that was Councillor Manor, Councillor Crichton, Councillor Fixer, and myself. So the next, we might let Councillor Chan in now, out of the waiting room.
Okay, bye for now.
Not Leslie, Councillor Chan. Leslie's still excluded. Councillor Fernow-Cook is still excluded. Michelle?
No, I'm back.
Yeah, but you removed yourself from the whole item, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so Michelle, can we put her back in the waiting bag? Okay, so we just Councillor Chan. All right, so now we're dealing with part two, which is with regards to the rezoning of the northern side of Mitchell Street, Enfield and Mitchell and Pembley Streets Conservation Area.
Thank you. Can I suggest an amendment? Can I propose an amendment? Okay. We need a mover first.
Well, you've got a move to and you can propose. So it's been moved by Councillor Crichton. What's the amendment?
Sure. Could I also suggest that we look at including number 96 Mitchell Street to avoid the sterilisation of the site in the recommendation, as per the councillor briefing and the advice here at the meeting this evening? So I will need a hand. I'm not a planner. I will need a hand with the wording.
You just put 94, 96, which is what you had spoke about. Is that right, Dylan? Or Carla?
Yes.
That's correct.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I think if we can include 94 and 96 Mitchell Street within Schedule 1, we can take care of appropriate wording to resolve some of those other technical issues as well.
Okay, so Part B would be development at the rear of 94 and 96 Mitchell Street in the recommendation. That's moved by Councillor Crichton. Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Chan. Do I have a speaker's for?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could I just add the reason for including number 96 Mitchell Street? I did go down there on Sunday and I've walked the street. I'm quite familiar with the landscape. I really value heritage. And I think, though, that by not including number 96, we really run the risk of it being aesthetically disconnected down there. I think this is just a really sensible outcome. So I think, as I've said, it avoids sterilising the site and it also provides the same benefits to both properties, and I think that's just a more equitable way of approaching this issue. Thank you. That's all I wish to say.
Councillor Chan, did you wish to speak?
No, I just want to say I endorse what Councillor Crichton has said, and that's why I second the motion.
Any speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimous. So that was Councillor Crichton, Chan, Dixit, Manor and Faker. The third item is with regards to updating of the heritage schedule and mapping the BLEP for the former Masonic Temple building. Do we have any questions? Moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for, against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. So that was Councillor Chan, Manor, Dixit, Crichton and Faker. Did you get all that, Michelle? Or was I too quick for you? Michelle's keeping up with
me. No, I got it.
Keeping up with me tonight. That's good. So the next item we're going to move to is the mayoral minute. So which is, we might let Councillor Fernow-Cook back in, please. So we'll move to the mayoral minute, which is the Bellwood Bounce Back Business Support Package. As many of you would be aware, with regards to the COVID pandemic, we've had a significant impact on communities, businesses and the economy. While Council has responded swiftly to the crisis, the impact of the current lockdown continues to be felt. In addition to the current stay-at-home order, increased restrictions imposed on hotspot local government areas has further impacted commercial and retail trade in Bellwood, with many businesses depending on the ability to reactivate over the next few months in order to remain afloat. In preparation for the easing of the restrictions and reactivation of key industries, Council has developed a support package designed to help businesses bounce back after the extended lockdown period. The ability for the hospitality sector to reopen and for residents to be able to frequent restaurants, cafes, bars and licensed premises will be contingent upon the creation of expanded COVID-safe options for outdoor dining, as well as Council's ability to streamline and fast-track application and approval processes. In a similar way, enabling the use of outdoor spaces for live music and performance will be critical to the sectors and the economic recovery. With an immediate focus on getting the hospitality and entertainment industry back on track, it is anticipated that the measures outlined in this support package will commence in late October of 2021, when lockdown restrictions are projected to be lifted and continue until 31st of January 2022. I move. Did everyone get a copy of my Merrill Minute?
Yeah, I've got a question, and I'm just going to see if I could do an addition.
Okay. So I might. Do you want me to read out the actual? So everyone's got a copy.
Got a copy. Yeah, Michelle sent a copy.
Yep. Just to let councillors be aware, I also had a Zoom one-on-one meeting with the treasurer, Dominic Perrottet, last week. Who was quite supportive and wants some further information on council's plans and possibly putting in place some support packages for council. So we're waiting to hear on that. I think we had a package that went out this week to the treasurer or late last week, talking to him about the different steps we're taking. But you had a question, Councillor Furza.
Look, I actually had it in question without notice, but it actually works quite well with this. So my question without notice was about our community sporting clubs, because the ABC and the Herald have put a piece that there's been a survey that, you know, about 9,000 are going to go to the war.
Yep.
Because, you know, there's no sponsorship and there's no fundraising and et cetera, but the fees haven't gone down. So I'm wondering, and obviously for, as you were saying, for, you know, the health of our communities, their physical and mental wellbeing, can we add in 8C that when you've got, you know, the community spaces, but what about our community outdoor spaces like our sporting grounds for local community clubs? So I'd be asking if you could expand that, so there is some relief for those organisations, because that like Enfield Swimming Club or the netball or the cricket, they're going to go to the wire, basically.
We're doing that. That's part of this as well. I might just put on Brooke. So when we're talking about communities, we're talking about them as well.
But those are. In your say, in what part of that the resolution does it have about the community clubs, outdoor community clubs?
Part 8 says support communities and businesses impacted by COVID-19. But I might get Brooke to add, but we can change the wording, but that's what the intent is. I might get Brooke to add some of the support pay. We're ready to talking to the sporting clubs. Brooke, did you want to add
what we're doing? Through you, Mr. Mayor, the current Merrill Minute doesn't explicitly call out our outdoor field. So we've talked about a 50% discount of fees and charges for the hire and use of some community spaces, particularly the Community Hub, Fitzroy Centre and Woodstock Centre, through to the 31st of December. However, we have been actively liaising with the local sporting clubs, and council has already cancelled all fees and charges relating to the 2021 winter season. So we've already done that because they've actually not been able to use the field. So we've taken an approach whereby we've not actually charged them because they've not been able to participate and use those spaces. There is a council report coming forward to the October meeting, following further consultation with the clubs in relation to a previous matter that we've briefed the councillors on, which is the Henley Park and Blair Park amenities buildings. And we've, through that consultation process, we'll be coming back to you with what's proposed around those buildings. However, I guess we've taken the same approach that we did last year, whereby we've simply just not charged them.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand that, that you haven't charged them because they haven't actually used them. But what about when they come back? Because they will be in a very sorry state when they return, and it will take a while for them to get out of the hole. So I suppose that's why I was saying if you're going to have another report and that's going to be part of it, but if it's not, I think, you know, I'd ask the mayor to consider adding.
How about we do this? I've got a bit of an idea, because then the GM and Brooke can obviously, rather than having to come back for a report, because it can be covered by the same. So in part eight, we have council provide the following financial relief to support communities, sport, sporting clubs and businesses impacted by COVID. At least that way it's covered for the GM and Brooke to have the authority to go through that. If they need to bring back another report, we can.
Okay.
And then we can assess the situation, what's happening. Any other questions? So just, Michelle, we're going to change part A of the minute, which will have council provide the following financial relief to support communities, sporting groups and businesses impacted by COVID-19. There being no further questions, I'll put them in. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Thanks, councillors, for your support. Our next item is item 65/21, which is the draft voluntary planning agreement for 21-23 Belmore Street Build. Do we have any questions? I've got a question if no one's got a question.
I've got one question.
Councillor Fernacook, do you want to go first?
Just with regard to this one, so there's it's just a change of use, isn't it? And is the use, the 38 car spaces, is that over the 10% of
Dylan, do you want to reply? I think this was approved by the Allen Land and Environment Court. And I think they've imposed the VPA. So my question was, if council doesn't support the VPA, does it mean the proposal still proceeds and we just lose the VPA funding?
Just to answer your question, Mr. Mayor, you're correct. If we chose not to accept the VPA, we would actually have to refund the contribution back to the applicant. They paid it at the end of last financial year, just to avoid our minor CPI increases into this financial year. So we were refunding them approximately $1.5 million.
Answer Councillor Fernow Cook's question first, because she answered it. She asked first.
Apologies, and through you, Mr. May, Councillor Fernow Cook, you just dropped out a little bit when you were just asking your question there. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's just that with regard to, you know, their ability to provide car parking, is that over the 10%? Of, you know, like section 96, is that over 10% of what they have to, is it?
I think is it, the question is that more than the does it exceed the 10% sort of deviation from what the code requires?
Yeah.
Correct?
In terms of car parking provision on site?
Yes.
Yes, look, it would be for 38 spaces. It's a long way above being 10% of the total requirement.
And through you, Mr. Mayor, there's no opportunity, because this is not a rebuild, is it? This is actually a refurbishment of or change of use from an existing site. So there's no opportunity for them to actually put car spaces in, is there?
No, through you, Mr. Mayor, no, you're absolutely correct, Fernow Cook. It's a conversion of the existing building. I think vehicle access is from Clarendon Place. There's a small area of forecourt at the back of that property, which might allow for deliveries and maybe a small amount of staff parking. But I think in terms of customer parking, there's very limited opportunity to provide anything on site at all.
Just confirming, is the issue because it was approved by LME, Land Environment Court, if council chose not to support the VPA, would that stop the approval? Or would it just mean we lose the funding?
I would have to take that question on notice. There's some legal implications on it, but my initial reaction would be that it wouldn't prevent the development from proceeding. It would really just mean that we miss out on our funding for additional car parking spaces.
Technically, we're supposed to get a mover and seconder before discussion, but I've allowed discussion before the item. Is there any other questions before?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. I just need to ask you, on what basis do we really arrive on a decision that, 38 spaces are available, for example? If I ask a question through you, that what is the traffic carrying capacity of the town area, like Bavu Town Center, the capacity, and what is being utilized and what is not underutilized? If through you, somebody can help me to understand that.
Dylan, do you want to? I think this proposal, I think it's, I'm not sure if you're aware where it is. I think it's the laneway. Is this the area behind the pub or that sort of courtyard?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. So it's a property that funds onto Belmore Street, and it has a rear frontage onto Clarendon Place.
I think they're converting that area into some type of, they're doing like sort of extending that Chinatown bit. Is that right, Dylan, under this proposal?
I don't believe it's linked to the Burwood Chinatown, but it's a hotel on ground floor, and I think it and restaurant on second floor.
Okay. And Councillor Dixon asked what impacts would it have with regards to the traffic outside of the scope of the VPA. It's probably more so on, but did you want to comment on that?
Look, if I can, Mr. Mayor, and through you, we're not asking the applicant to provide those parking spaces on site, so that there would be no or very limited additional traffic or trip generation associated with this particular use. We would be looking for patrons either to travel via public transport to the site or to the town centre, or utilise other public car parks available within the town centre.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, my key question is still unanswered. And the question is, how do you arrive at this, numbers game? Like, how do we know that these number of spaces are available or not available or less available? That is my question. And that comes from the traffic carrying capacity of the area.
Yeah, so, I think that might require maybe a bit of a workshop, Councillor Dixon. I'm not sure if, Dylan, do you think you could answer that one now or?
Look, I would have to take that on notice, Mr. Mayor. It's a very detailed question, but I think I understand the point that Councillor Dixit is driving out there around the capacity of the local road network in the town centre.
I think what's before us is not the actual traffic issues.
Yeah.
The application has been approved by the courts. It's whether we accept to take the funding, that's all.
I'm happy to move it and talk to it.
Okay, so it's been moved by Councillor Fernow Cook. As per the recommendation?
Yes.
And seconder? Seconder by Chan.
What is the recommendation? Can you just repeat that?
It's on the business page, yes. Councillor Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
So Councillor Fernow Cook?
I rarely approve these, as you know. But this is actually, it's not a rebuild where the developer actually deliberately chooses not to provide parking when they have the capacity to. This is a reuse when there's absolutely no opportunity to provide parking. So I think this is a very different circumstance to the ones that I usually say no to. So I'm happy to put my stamp on this one.
Okay, Councillor Chan.
Basically, it's not, I guess it's not a planning matter anymore. It's just a matter of whether we accept the money or we are going to forfeit that 1.5 million. The DA was approved by the Land and Environment Court. It's out of our hands. Understand where Councillor Dixon was coming from. I think he's trying to work out whether we are getting that car park numbers from the number of patrons that could be visiting the site, or whether we are using the square meters of the premises to get that number. But I think that is a different matter. I mean, if the council staff has provided a reasonable number and that number is being agreed by all the parties, then I would be inclined to support this and get the money for the community rather than losing it.
I think the number comes about per car space, which is in our policy. So, any other speakers? Speakers against? I'll put the motion then. All those in favour? Those against? I think that was carried unanimously. Is that correct? Next item is 66-21, which is the election of the deputy mayor. So I might just hand over to the general manager to hold the election, being the formal.
Sorry. Through you, Mr. Mayor. I was mute.
Yes.
So I was against the proposal.
Oh, you voted against. Sorry. So that wasn't.
Yes. My apologies for that. Yeah.
That was. You understand what you were voting against, Councillor Dixit, though?
Yes. Yeah.
You're technically voting against receiving the funding. So you're going to give the developer a free pass.
Let it be, because there has to be a merit on the case.
Okay. It's all right. Michelle, that wasn't unanimous. So that was Councillor Furneaux Cook, Councillor Chan, Councillor Crichton, Councillor Manor, myself, and Councillor Dixit was against. Did you get that, Michelle?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thanks. Great. So I'll just hand over to the GM for the item 66-21.
I believe, Mr. Mayor, the first recommendation is the council determine that firstly to elect a deputy mayor. Once we do that, then I'll probably proceed to the nomination.
You're right, I was probably being too quick. So I've got a mover for election of the deputy mayor. It's been moved by Councillor Fernand Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimous, I believe. Now, Tomas.
Yes, Councillor. So I can confirm that I have received one valid nomination. Got it here. That is for Councillor Heather Crichton. And I believe that the nominee has agreed to the nomination. It's confirming.
Yes, thank you.
So I'll probably just put it to the councillors if there are any other nominations that want to be raised now. If not, there be no other nomination. I think as per the resolutions, I declare Councillor Heather Crichton as our deputy mayor. I believe from the period of between today and the 4th of December.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I just say a couple of words quickly?
I might just thank you, Councillor Crichton. But before I do that, can I thank Councillor Chan for this over the last, has it been 12 months or 24 months?
A bit longer.
Only 12, thank God.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
So thanks for your support. And it's disappointing. I know Councillor Chan's probably not running again for the council election. Mm. And has been wanting to sort of step down for a while because of work pressures. But thanks, Councillor, for making the time and the commitment. So I might hand over to Councillor Crichton.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just very briefly, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Mayor, and my fellow councillors, particularly the Deputy Mayor, the former Deputy Mayor, Ernest Chan. Thank you for your support, and I am honoured to accept this role of Deputy Mayor. just ahead of the elections, I look forward to continuing to work with you all and with our tremendous staff for the betterment of Burwood. There's still a lot of work to do. I'm still very enthusiastic and I just want to get on with things and head down and work hard for Burwood. So thank you, everyone, for your support.
Thanks, Councillor Crichton, and congratulations.
Congratulations.
So we might move on to item 67/21. Which is the referral of the annual financial reports for 2021 to Council's auditor.
I'll move as recommended, but could I ask a question as well? Yep.
So I might just get a seconder. So it's been moved by Councillor Fernow-Cook, seconded by Councillor Manner. Councillor Fernow-Cook, your question?
Oh, just if the CFO wanted to talk about any highlights or red flags that we should be aware of before it went to...
I might just put that to the GM, who can put to the CFO.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Wayne, would you like to answer that?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. No, nothing untoward. All I can say is that we're just down on a bit of income this year. Well, that's pretty obvious because of the COVID situation. And in the capital grants area where last year we received, or the year before, I should say, in 2020, we received over $22 million worth of non-cash developer contributions, which included the new council chambers, and a bit of Hornsey Lane. So they're the only really ones. We have got in one of the KPIs, we're still in a negative in the operating performance ratio, but that also is related to cash situation and additional expenditure. But we have steadied the boat in that respect, and taking into account probably won't be as good as this year's one, but we are going all right, yes.
Any further questions? Put the motion. Did you wish to speak, Councillor? No speakers, I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 68/21, which is on page 99, which is the investment report as at the 31st of August. Do I have a mover and seconder before I ask the questions? Being moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Fernow-Cook. Any questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Speakers. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item, 70/21, which is the partnership agreement with Service New South Wales for Business, which is on page 104. Been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Chan. Questions? The motion, all those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. The report RC7/21, which is the Build Local Traffic Committee report, which is on page 134. It's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Chan. Do I have any questions? I just got a quick question.
I have a question after you.
Go on, you go first, Councillor, while I find
out. I was a bit perplexed about the objections people had about the go-get locations, because they didn't seem to be outside any premises. So can staff, through you to the GM, identify why those very few, have to say, people objected?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. You want me to answer that?
Yep.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The main objections are loss of on-street parking surrounding residents. So it's very much along those lines. I mean, they're all slightly different, but it's along those lines.
Can I ask on that? So, but this is something that we continually review over like a 12-month period. So if those spaces aren't being used and they're just to go get cars and we work out that they're not actually parking there, we could change that, or is there a review process at all or not?
That's correct. That there is a review process, and they also pay fees. Okay. As part of that review process, they've got to demonstrate they've got a certain amount of members in the radius of those spaces. So we want to ensure that more people are using it than the amount of spaces that we're losing.
Okay. I might ask a question before other councillors ask. So with the proposed roundabouts and, you know, the traffic calming, for example, on Portland Street, will the traffic calming devices on Portland Street be sort of a lower scale, like the ones on Arthur Street, where it's, you don't feel like you have to come to a complete stop to go over?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. During the traffic committee, we changed the minute to ensure that it specified a maximum of 75 millimetres, which is what you would expect on a bus route. So to accommodate, you know, larger vehicles going over and reduce that hump.
Can I just make a point where, like, for example, Kembla and Tangara or Catta Place and so forth, where we're putting the islands in for the roundabouts, where there's opportunity to provide landscaping, that we do that? Like, you know how we put the concrete sort of edges on Gladstone Street, where we could have been opportunities to have landscaping there and we didn't, it was too late. I just don't want to miss those opportunities. So if there are, is there any proposed landscaping in those possible roundabouts or the side sort of, you know how you do the little side bits on the...
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, we added in the minute to include investigation into additional landscaping because the current design only had for concrete. Where we can't fit them in the islands because the islands may not be large enough to accommodate landscaping, we may put some landscaping along the corners adjacent to the pram ramps in the no stopping zones.
Okay, excellent. Any other questions?
Yes, can I just ask, Mr. Mayor, through you to the staff, just with the Portland Street speed bump, I notice that we seem to be preferencing now concrete speed humps and not speed cushions. And yet in the report, I think that the resident from number 23 may have raised some objections. I'm just wondering if noise becomes an issue with the speed bump outside of number 23, is there any way that we could consider going back and retrofitting some kind of cushion to lessen the impact of the noise? Is that possible?
George?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it'd be easier to go the other way. The rubber speed cushions are obviously dowelled into the road, whereas the concrete speed humps would involve excavation and physical construction.
I believe just to answer that, I think they've at the traffic committee they actually reduced. It's not a full concrete speed hump anymore, councillor. I think they've reduced it to which allows buses to even go over it easily. So it brings you down to a slow, but it won't bring you to a stop. Is that correct, George?
We did reduce the height of it to 75 mil, so it should be less impact than the larger speed humps, but it is concrete.
Thank you.
Well, through you did, and I was going to talk about that too, so I thank the new Deputy Mayor for raising that issue. Why have we not considered, because those are the two objections and they're noted, but then nothing done. So why is it a cost issue that we go with the concrete rather than the rubber?
I think that's cheaper. So,
through you, Mayor, that's correct. The rubber is cheaper option. I guess we went to concrete, given the road environment being next to a playground. It was felt that once the speed humps are in, they wouldn't likely be removed. But they can be made out of rubber if that's what council wishes. But the proposal was for concrete.
What's the height of the rubber ones, George? Do you know?
I can't remember top of my head, but they are. Wouldn't it be more than 75 mil because they are designed to accommodate heavy vehicles?
Do they make less noise on impact for the rubber?
Well, with the rubber ones, if we're looking at speed cushions, they would generally allow a bus to straddle. So they would go over without going over the hump. Whereas vehicles or cars would go over the bump.
Okay, and so with the rubber ones, and so sorry, so why was this location chosen to have a speed hump? Was it?
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, we have had requests from residents through there, and I think it was raised at a previous council meeting as well. The traffic counts did show a slightly elevated 85th percentile speed, and given that it is in close proximity to a playground and sporting venue, it was thought that would be a good location.
And how much is the funding for this, and what would the funding be for the rubber?
Haven't got the figures top of my head, Mr. Mayor. I'd have to come back with the figures for the costs.
Approximately? Like, is it a 50% saving if you went for rubber? And how, is this being funded by us, or is it Black Spot funded?
This will be funded by council.
Okay. Is there a, so is there like, is it like a 50% saving or not?
There would be about that saving. Yes, it would be a significant difference in costs.
Should we try the rubber?
If council wishes, we can give the rubber a shot.
Do you want to take this out, this part of the report out? We can bring it back next month. At least that way it gives you a chance to update the report. We can have proper financials in there and you can actually do the design rather than possibly coming back and saying, oh, the rubber won't work. I don't know, for some reason.
Yeah, sure. We could, if council wishes, we could refer it back to traffic committee to reconsider. Traffic committee is meeting again in October in
not
a week.
Traffic. I think it's for you to go back. I think the councillors are okay with having a speed hump. It's just the option of having a rubber one.
Mm.
So maybe we just defer that section out for a further report from yourself back to council on looking at both options and costings?
I would only highlight that the recommendation from traffic committee refers to a concrete threshold. So if council wanted to change the recommendation of traffic committee, I think you've got to send it back.
No, council can change it without sending it back.
Okay.
I believe. Unless we're, for example, adding in another five. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
But you can double check that. Councillors, is there? Can I just ask before we do that? Is there any urgency in having this in there? Was there a time frame that's been given? Was there a consultation that's taken place, or it's just something that you've put out there but we haven't yet decided to install?
That's correct. A consultation's already taken place, and it's just referred to council for consideration.
Councillors, happy? Did anyone move? Who moved this report? Councillor Manor, was it? Who moved it, Michelle?
Nobody. We don't have a mover yet.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had a mover. So it was Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Chan. Are you happy for this one to be removed for further investigations on possible, what's the technical word for rubber? Or cushions?
Yeah, rubber cushion. Speed cushions.
Yeah, speed cushions.
So speed cushions rather than a concrete.
Which, can someone confirm which item we're talking about on here? Which report and number?
This is the Portland Street item, which is, so that part B deferred, which is item LTC 22/21.
Okay.
And for further investigation by the general manager and to look at other options of, or the option of speed cushions. And you might just want to do as part of that investigation, because I know some speed cushions go in there, they bring a car to a stop. So while it might be a cushion, it might bring it to a stop. So the concrete one might still be a bit better in the sense it's not bringing you to a stop and it's less noisy. So you just need to be careful, but George can look into that and get back to us.
Yeah.
Are you happy with that, Councillor Manor, Councillor Chan? And to come back at a future council meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? Put the motion, all those in favour?
Aye.
Those against the declare that carried unanimously. We missed item 71/21, which is the Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference 2021, which is on page 128.
I'm happy to move it.
Yeah, should we? I don't know what's happening with elections, that's all.
Okay, well, I can give you a view. It's in three parts, basically.
Yeah.
Because it's under the Fair Work Commission, they have to have an annual conference.
Yeah.
To pass the finances. So I would urge it, you know, people just to turn up. It's not going to be a long conference.
Okay.
And then, you know, the good part of the conference is going to be separate with all the motions, and that's going to be at the Hyatt in March next year. But the elections for the board are going to be postal, so it won't be through, but you still will need delegates to be the voters. They may change in March, but they won't change
Do we have to choose delegates tonight? No. This is just registration, is that correct?
I don't know. It's up to the general manager when you need to actually name the names.
Yeah, from inquiries, Mr. Mayor, they've been pretty flexible in relation to possible changes on names, of course. So the suggestion was to purchase the tickets, and then there's a flexibility in relation to names.
So do we pick delegates tonight or not?
We can do
that next meeting.
We can do so. I'll probably recommend that, and then we can always change it if need be.
Okay. Well, can we? So let's maybe move it, but before you purchase the 5 tickets, get an idea of who wants to attend.
Yeah.
Who roughly?
Well, I'll be attending the conference, the financials.
So obviously. You're up for a re-election, councillor?
We haven't finished our nominations yet. That's on Tuesday.
All right. So who else wants to attend? Just show of hands. Okay, so we've got roughly 3 at the moment. So maybe...
Can we just get the name? Sorry, it was Councillor Crichton?
Councillor Manor.
Yeah.
Councillor Furno, cool. So we need 3 voting delegates, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's always an opportunity to add the observers. And as we listed there, you can let me know, I guess, by next week. It's all to take advantage of the early bird pricing.
So, Leslie, I'm just going to stick my hand up. I'll find out during the week, and then just let me know if you're nominating again. If you are, we'll give you one voting spot. If you're not...
Look, I don't mind, John. I get a vote anyway.
Oh, do you?
Because I'm a board member. So, I don't want to be greedy. That would give me 2 votes.
I might just stick my hand up then, because just from a caucus point of view, they might ask us for the 3 votes.
I guess they will.
Yeah, so I better stick my hand up too. So there's 4 of us. So rather than...
I'll withdraw.
No, you still be on there, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
We'll still get you on there, but the 3 voting delegates will... So we'll purchase 4 tickets.
But I think, Councillor Fernell-Cook, would you get an automatic sort of...
Registration.
The conference registration?
I don't think I get an automatic registration.
Okay.
I don't have to pay.
I think I have to be registered, because I remember I'll check, but I remember that, you know, they won't bear the cost of accommodation. Even if you're in the board, they won't bear any of those costs. But I get a vote as a board member. So I'm happy to relinquish that other people.
Now, so we'll register 4, subject to Leslie just confirming she has to register, and then we'll have the 3 delegates as the mayor, deputy mayor, and councillor manor. Does that make sense? So it's not excluding you, because if you get a vote anyway, I'd rather because just to support Linda, because I know she'll call me.
Well, yeah, then Well, it's going to be a it's a regional president.
Yeah. Okay.
So you'll be voting for Daria, I would think.
Daria. Okay. All right.
Who's a lovely person?
Okay, that's lovely person. It's just in case we have to caucus or something. So we don't. All right. So that's
Mr. Chair. Just from a procedural point of view, if you are not able to determine who your delegates will be now, can I suggest that you simply pass a motion indicating that you will be funding three delegates and X number of observers, and that the matter, the remainder of that matter, be stood over until the next meeting of council, where some interim delegates can be nominated, subject to substitute delegates in the new year after the elections.
Okay, Tanya, we just nominated three. So it was moved by Councillor Fernay Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor, that we'll have four registrations. But Leslie, you're going to just check and then get back to Tommaso. And the three voting delegates will be the mayor, the deputy mayor.
I'm pretty sure I have to be registered.
Okay, that's okay.
100%, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the four, with the voting delegates being myself, the deputy mayor, and Councillor Manor.
If there are any other councillors and or usually staff, we can send as observers, or we can have as observers. We can do that next week.
Okay. You will then.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I would encourage, you know, staff. I know that some of them did get some benefit out of the Australian local government conference, and so it's quite good, particularly for new staff to attend the local one, the New South Wales one.
Do you want us to include some tickets for the observers to master? Is that what you're asking? Or?
Mr. Mayor, I can take care of that as part of the other resolution number two, the GM and other observers. I can pick a couple of the guys.
All right, let's put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Information items, IM20/21, which is answers to questions on notice, which are on the report on page 168. There's also item IN21/21, which is the power of attorney for GM report for period June to August, which is on page 170. And now we're going into, I believe, if you bear with me, confidential item, which is item 72/21. That the above item be considered in closed session to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with section 10A2A of the Local Government Act 1993. If the matter involves personal matters concerning particular individuals, I've got a motion by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Manor, that we go into closed session. Is there any objections from the gallery? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. I might just ask Michelle to exclude everybody before we go into item 72/21.
Yep, I'll just do that now.
Hand over to the GM to read the resolution for item 72/21, which is the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee, appointment of independent chair and member.
Sorry, I've missed the report.
Up on the screen now.
So what was resolved?
Okay.
Let me just move it over.
Michelle. Okay. Just in relation to item 72/21, the council unanimously resolved to endorse the following appointments to the board: Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee for a period of 3 years commencing on 1st October 2021, being the chair, Mr. Daniel Carbone, and the independent member, Mr. Jesse Joe.
Okay. There being no further items, I believe.
What are questions without answers?
I want to read them out. Oh, they were listed on the report. I think the answers for the last one, but questions without notice, I think you just lodge and they go on to the next meeting, but do you want to read them out?
Okay. The first one was basically the same thing I asked was about the sports clubs. I said, so you'll see that. I won't bother about that. Second one was use of electric vehicles in Australia set to reach 30% by at least 2030. What provisions have council made in terms of both pop-up charging stations, they've got them in Canada Bay, and inclusion in planning documents for new builds, they've got those that in Randwick Council. And the third one was, following on from my last question without notice, I read the education program for the eight apartment buildings, were there identified improvements?
I think they get answered at the next, they get answered at the next question. I think we need to, I might just have a chat with the GM to talk about our code of meeting practice to see, while you still lodge your questions without notice, maybe we should still allow a part of the meeting forum where you can still put those questions. I know they're listed and answered on the meeting.
Yeah, we can still read them out. I believe we've got a section of for questions on notice.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But technically, they don't get answered now until the next council meeting, which is fine. I mean, that's not the issue. The other issue I just want to raise also is there an opportunity to change? Because I know technically we're supposed to have a mover and seconder before we do questions. I might just talk to you to see, is there an opportunity to do questions without discussion beforehand? And then we go into a mover and seconder for an item, which is what we've sort of been used to for 20 years. It's just hard getting used to doing it the other way around. And the problem is also some councillors might not want to move or second a motion because they might still have questions they need answered before they debate whether deciding, like if they ask some questions and that might push them a certain way in their decision making, then they might be comfortable to move it or not move it. I don't know.
Mr. Mayor, I will give you a formal answer, but my instinct would probably say that we can modify those provisions in the code of meeting practice. But
yeah, I think they're the state ones. But anyway, let's have a look. All right, councillors and staff, thanks for your time and keep safe and hopefully.